and the committee in presenting all of what the PDT had done and bring everybody up to speed on exactly where we were. And then the following day, the 25th, it was the intention and was in the agenda this way that we would make decisions on the suite of alternatives for corals, dedicated habitat research areas, and adverse effects minimization, including the closures, which would then be moved to the council at this meeting and on to the respective PDTs of groundfish and the habitat. That did not happen because the meeting had been scheduled on the 25th on the same day as the SSC meeting, which wasn't considered to be a problem when it was scheduled. But then we discovered that we had this Richter 9 tsunami of the Gulf of Maine codfish, and a few days before the 25th meeting, I had to cancel it because it was evident that I would have probably been the only one at my own meeting. So that was an unavoidable circumstance. So the decisions at this point have not been made. We've scheduled another meeting for the 23rd of February, at which that will be what we do, is to make these decisions to move directly on specifically to the groundfish PDT for further evaluation of the currently closed areas. There were three things that main items that were dealt with at the meeting on the 24th. One was the corals issue, another one was the dedicated habitat research issue, and the last one was the adverse effects issue, including the options and alternatives, and including the changes in the closed areas. The corals, it's been decided by the council some time ago to use the special authority under Magnuson and not the EFH designations for groundfish, or for fish species, rather, that we had messed with before. So we're going to be doing coral mitigation under the special authority of Magnuson. And at the meeting a week ago, it was the consensus was that we use the approach that will include two methods of managing coral. One being the broad area approach, and the second one being the discrete separate area approach, because they are different and they will apply to two fundamentally different kinds of areas. The broad area approach will extend from the edge of the EEZ at the 200-mile limit inward to some particular contour, which will be either the 200, 300, or possibly 400-meter contour. That's a decision that will be reflected in the different alternatives that will be available. The within that area, within that zone, there are two possible ways that you can go. One would be to go with a total closure to protect corals that we don't know whether they are there or not. And the other one will be the approach that's been generally used by NAFO, and that will be to, and this is the approach that was chosen by the meeting on the 24th as the best one to move forward with, and that would be to designate this entire zone, which is currently only fished on by the red crab fishery, to designate it as an experimental fishery area, with specific requirements for initiating any fishery there. One would be by permit, and it would require an observer, and with a move-along clause if corals are encountered beyond some particular threshold that is yet to be determined. And that seems to be the best approach because we don't have data out there, and there's no particular way we're going to get data without having some means of this sort, fishery-dependent means to do so. The exact details will have to be worked out, but that seems to be the best approach for the broad area. Now, within the discrete area, there will be separate zones that are centered on the canyons that will have different regulation depending upon the presence or absence of coral in individual canyons. The PDT has outlined some ideas on that, but the decisions have to be made yet, and that will be first on the docket for the meeting on February 23rd. The second issue was the dedicated habitat research areas. The dedicated habitat research areas, you have a unique opportunity with modifying and changing closed areas to get some information and data that we desperately need for a number of reasons. The PDT has given us guidance. We've been trying to get it for some time, but we've had other things that had to be done. Now we have some guidance from the PDT. Very, very good, very well done guidance, by the way. The need to have these dedicated habitat research areas are first to monitor the effects of the actions that we take for habitat, including things like changing the closed areas. We've never monitored the effects of these kinds of actions, and we need to know 5 years down the line whether this thing worked or that thing didn't work. So monitoring effects is one of the primary reasons for the dedicated habitat research areas. We also need to improve the SASE model over time by testing some of the assumptions that we don't have sufficient data to be really secure with. So that's the second thing that function of the DHRA is. The third one is that we need to at some point establish a linkage between habitat and productivity. We know that linkage exists, but we have no metric with which to measure it. So that would be a third function of these DHRAs. And by productivity, I mean productivity of managed species. And the fourth thing is we need to begin initiating some kind of integration of the water column with the benthic habitat in order to be able to address issues for the entire habitat. We know that the water column is essential in habitat issues, but we do not have any real understanding of how it works. And the other thing, of course, is climate effects on that. So those are the four things that dedicated habitat research areas will be expected to do. And the PDT gave us seven key questions, which are in the material that you have in your packet. Seven key questions that we need to be able to answer and suggest approaches to research areas to answer them. So for the first time, we have actual guidance on how to construct these dedicated habitat research areas, and I'm particularly pleased by that. The last thing that we took up was the adverse effects mitigation, and the group on the meeting, the non-decision-making meeting, approved the general approach and approved the material that was given to them by the PDT and that the committee had done. But now we need final decisions from the committee to move forward and to send to the groundfish PDT and to the habitat PDT for analysis and presentation to the council. And I expect that process to be completed for the June council meeting. And I can't guarantee with the tsunamis that we face that we'll meet that, but I certainly intend to do so, and it is still our intention to do so. So we should have a suite of alternatives available for the council by the June meeting, and we should have a suite of alternatives for the council to begin to consider by the April meeting. They won't, as of that point, be analyzed, but I expect the analysis to be completed by June. But I'm an eternal optimist. Are there any questions? That's as far as I would like to go here. Questions or comments? Michelle, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, just a couple things. Just to point out to people that the meeting on February 23rd is going to be here at the Sheraton, and an agenda for that should be posted on the webpage shortly. If people are interested in what the PDT's recommendations have been about coral zones, there's a lot of information with the meeting materials from the meeting we had last week on the 24th. Information about specific areas that are recommended and a lot of maps and things to orient you. So if anyone's interested, or I can answer questions as well. And then something else on enforcement that we discussed exactly how to develop some of these area boundaries at the meeting, and we had some questions about what's enforceable or not. And so I think it would probably be useful for the PDT and or the committee to get some kind of guidance from enforcement in the coming months on that issue. And I guess the only other thing to say in terms of timing and how things move forward, I think we've mentioned this before. I think we mentioned this in November, but the adverse effects options that the Habitat Committee has been discussing, the idea is that in February on the 23rd, we would the committee can make some decisions about which options would go forward and then recommend those to the groundfish process. And then once there are some groundfish options on the table, whenever that's able to happen, that we'd integrate them into some alternatives that consider all the different aspects and are joint. And then those would eventually come to this group. So that's all the additional points that I have, unless anyone has any questions.
Dave, you wanted another comment?
Yeah, just make one quick comment. I did. I hadn't had a chance to get together with Michelle on this. I did just a little while ago speak with Captain DeKohler, and they will be working with us on this to get an adequate, enforceable set of regulations. They've agreed to do so.
Thank you, Dave. The chair requests that you work with Michelle and Chris to make sure that the timelines are updated. We've already missed one meeting. I don't know what impacts that will or won't have, but in our effort to keep those timelines updated so that the public knows where we are on that, that would be good. Any other questions? Tom and then Sally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was more to the point of the timeline, looking at the document behind tab one. I just wanted to clarify in my own mind, if we're identifying a suite of alternatives at the June meeting, and then it has us approving minimization alternatives and selecting preferred alternatives in September. Would then, after that point, would be going to public comment and then final action at then the November meeting?
Yes. At the moment, we're still on that timeline. The meeting that we missed because of the cod tsunami so far has not altered that timeline. You know, what happens from this point on, none of us can predict, but I intend to hold the timeline. And it's going to depend on PDT time, both with Habitat PDT and the Groundfish PDT. And as of right now, we intend to hold that timeline, exactly with the timeline you gave.
Sally McGee. Oh, sorry.
Just a quick point. I think we need to take a look at that because I think we miss final action, at least in the document as it's currently written. We jump from preferred alternatives to submitting a final EIS. So I think we can just revise that.
Thank you. Sally McGee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing that I don't think was discussed during the report on the last executive committee meeting was there was a presentation that a colleague of mine made to the executive committee on a large-scale ecological assessment that the Nature Conservancy completed about a year and a half ago. I was very glad that a number of staff were able to attend. Michelle was there. Tom Neese was there. Tom had actually participated in a review of the ecological assessment that we completed, again, as I said, about a year and a half ago. But the point here in the context of the habitat discussion is that while it's certainly not a perfect match, it's helpful and I think informative to look at another analysis of the areas that we're looking at in figuring out where the places that need to be protected are. So the outputs from the LISA analysis that the council staff has done, when you look at those in comparison to what the ecological assessment that the Nature Conservancy did, they're not a perfect match, but there's some areas where things do line up. So I just wanted to thank staff for attending that, for participating, and for being a part of that, and for the executive committee to have considered this additional analysis and just kind of considering it as a second opinion, which is confirming, I think, the direction that the Habitat Committee, the Habitat PDT, are going. Thank you.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, thank you for that, Sally. We are also, I hadn't intended to have this as part of the report, but I'll just put it out there. We're also talking with some of the members of the SSC and particularly with Mike Fogarty on integrating our dedicated habitat research areas into a larger long-term research project that will serve the needs of the ecosystem management initiative. And these will, if they're properly constructed, they will segue rather nicely into research areas specifically for ecosystem management, and that should attract, and I understand from some people at SMAS that it will attract a lot more research attention. But that's down the line. We're working on that right now.
Any other questions from the council? Dave Pierce.
Yeah, David, on page 7 of the summary of the January 24th meeting, under options to minimize the adverse effects of fishing on EFH, there's reference to a decision document and a presentation describing the research questions and a general framework for dedicated habitat research areas. Is that information on the web?
Yes, it's with the committee AP meeting materials from the 24th of January, the research area discussions all the way at the end of the decision document.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience have questions? Rich.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman, and I'll promise you this is my last time speaking unless my replacement doesn't show up to carry on, and then we'll have to come back to talk about windmills later. But where you're going to hear a few contrarian views, I'll try to be as brief as I can. But we see this process as moving in an entirely wrong direction right now, and certainly contrary to the intent of the primary legislative sponsors of the Marine Sanctuary Act when it was passed. And there's no doubting that this document is heavily biased in favor of achieving the objectives that the National Marine Sanctuary has been trying to do with focusing in on Stellwagen Bank for further closures because they're running out of other things to do to justify the budget they have. If you look at page four of the first document, in the first full paragraph, the last part of the paragraph, it specifically refers to the CIRA proposal developed by the Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary, and it uses that as a suggests that's going to be the model that's going to be used for looking around the remainder of the Northeast EEZ for other areas of similar coral reef present availability or availability basically in those kinds of habitats, but using basically the design that's already been put forward by the CIRA for the Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary. In fact, the next paragraph goes on further and takes it one step further and says, beyond using the CIRA proposal as a source of ideas for generic research area design, it was noted that the Habitat Committee has expressed via a handful of motions its desire to develop management options for Stellwagen Bank. And where we, the tuna community, and I suspect an awful lot of people in the codfish community, are going to be distressed to find out this committee is moving parallel or maybe inconsistent with where the groundfish committee is meeting in order to address groundfish fishery management issues. There is no need for this redundancy. Focusing in, particularly singling out Middle Bank as an area for extra protection, is not justified. It discriminates against the people who have the closest access to the bank for additional penalties, if you were, or economic sacrifices before the entire Northeast region is examined. And I suggest the right process is to first make that inventory throughout the region, in the deep water, in the offshore areas, find the areas that you're most concerned about that you want to really look at and do what we see as fairly esoteric research projects without any immediate real-term benefits that are before this council right now. I think the council has an awful big agenda in front of it, including the codfish and a number of other issues, and this ought to be one of the lowest priorities it has, and be very careful about the motivations of where this is coming from, because it's being driven by Stellwagen Bank sanctuary people who are looking to build an empire out of that when they've already achieved their objectives, the objectives that were set out for it in the beginning, and that they continue to ignore. Thank you.
Any other public comments? Back to the council. That concludes your report, Dave. Thank you. Dave Gaethel, we will move on to research steering.
Good morning, everybody. The Research Steering Committee met on November 30, and 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 committee met on November 30.